more definitively this National Enquirer piece by telling us on the record that you've never been unfaithful to your wife.
But look, if I may.
No, I'm sorry. I asked the senator that question.
Well, I'm gonna comment, okay?
Do you have firsthand knowledge of his marriage?
I'm going to comment. This is an example of the media playing to Donald Trump's tune. Donald Trump is a serial philanderer by his own admission. Mm-hmm. And in a week when we have had a terrorist attack in Brussels, a shooting on Capitol Hill, the President of the United States in the baseball stands with Raul Castro and insisting that he be photographed in front of a portrait of Che Guevara with the two Castro brothers, we are talking about a scurrilous, ridiculous piece of the National Enquirer. Why do you all dance to Donald Trump's tune? Let's talk about the issues, please.
Well, that's fine too, but Senator, I'm sorry. This is a very serious question about your character. Will you just, if the answer is yes, I've always been faithful to my wife, can you just say something?
Sir, I recognize that you love going into the gutter. With
no.
These kind of, sir,
the National Enquirer is already going to the gutter.
Sir, I'm going to answer your question. Stop interrupting. Stop interrupting.
Thank you.
What is your publication about?
The Daily Mail, the world's most read English language newspaper.
Look,
I'm going to give a very brief answer to your question, which is the National Enquirer story is complete garbage. It is total lies. It was planted by Donald Trump's henchmen, and I don't think the people of Wisconsin or the people of America have any interest in tabloid trash. I'm going to focus on the issues that matter for the American people.
Ted Cruz, I just love, I love the henchmen. It was planted by Donald Trump's henchmen. Planted by Donald Trump's henchmen. Henchmen. So that there's no evidence to that. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that the National Enquirer story was planted by Donald Trump's henchmen. And nobody pushes back on that statement. But when Trump says, listen, Ted Cruz knew about the ad that Lismar did about my wife. Ted Cruz knew about that. Everybody's quick to say, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He can't communicate with a super PAC. He didn't know. Ted, did you know?
I had no idea who that was. I don't know anybody from the campaign. I don't know anybody whatsoever. And everybody goes, Oh, okay. We got you. We got you, Teddy. We got you. Amazing. It's amazing, I think. It's amazing. And it just shows you. It just shows you it's bigger. The Trump thing is bigger. The thing with Trump and the pushback, okay, that this pushback, not just from Republicans, but from Democrats, the media, it's bigger than, he says bad things about Muslims. Oh, he's bad things about immigrants. Oh, he's this is horrible. Oh, but people in the other countries, they laugh at us. Oh, we can't have this person. I've said this before. It's deeper. It's deeper, and truthfully, it's going to be. It's going to be. It's going to be it's going to be a bad day for our country. Listen, it's going to be a bad day for our country. This is all over because it will go back to business as usual. It'll go back to business as usual, and that's what this is about. It's about Trump shaking up the system. It's about Trump saying, "Why we do biz? Why are we doing things that haven't worked 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Why are we doing things that worked 80 years ago? Why are we doing things that worked 80 years ago, but now they don't work? Why do we still do them? Why do we not try to change? Why? People don't like when you try to change status quo. You know, people don't like that. And when it comes to the government, listen, we touched on that. We talked about the New York Times, the interview, a smidgen. I said we were going to talk about it today. We're going to get in depth. The controversy. Rather, it's Andrea Mitchell, who has no idea what she's talking. Listen, Andrea Mitchell is a talking, she's a puppet, all she is. She's a left-wing puppet. It's a left-wing puppet on MSNBC, which is the puppet master. They're the puppet masters for the left. Puppet masters for the left. New York Times. Puppet masters when it comes to print media. They're puppet and puppet masters. That's what they are. And when you hear them talking about these outrageous things that Trump has said, oh my God, he has no clue. He does have a clue. And that clue is, why are we doing things that worked 50 years ago or 60 years ago? And they don't necessarily work now. Why don't we change these things? Why don't we reevaluate these things? It's not crazy. You know, I heard this breakdown yesterday, and it's funny. I heard this breakdown yesterday of the NATO argument. And I was walking my dog. I do some of my better thinking when I'm walking the dog, waiting for him to defecate. It's insane. But I'm walking the dog, okay? And I'm replaying in my head one of the neoconservatives' criticism of Trump and his NATO statements. And first off, when you listen to Ted Cruz and you listen to other Trump haters, and they say Trump wants to pull out of NATO. Trump wants to stop NATO. What? He's crazy. What? Trump never said that. Trump never said he wants to pull out of NATO. Trump never said he wants to pull out of NATO. He never said that. What he said was we have to reevaluate NATO. We have to reevaluate NATO. And the rest of the allies need to ante up. They need to live up to what they said they would do. Very simple. Very simple. There's an agreement with the European NATO allies, and that agreement is to spend 2% of their gross domestic product on defense. And out of the 28 members of NATO, guess how many do that? Five. Five. And I heard someone on the right Okay? I heard someone on the right go, well, for Trump to use this hyperbolic portrayal of our closest allies as ripping us off is insane. They put in $300 billion per year. Trump is ill-informed. It's insulting. It's a Trumpism. But listen, if you're supposed to make $100,000 a year, if you're supposed to make $100,000 a year, that's what is agreed upon. And at the end of the year, you're given $60,000. Do you go, oh, well, hey, I got $60,000. Thanks. I know I'm supposed to get $100,000, but oh, well. And then you walk away. I mean, do you do that? Do you do that? You see what I'm saying? With the status quo. So here's a question. What would happen if the United States said to the NATO allies, hey, guys, you're supposed to spend 2% of the gross domestic. You're supposed to put in more money. So something's got to change. You all got about a week or two to kick in the money that you're supposed to kick in, or we have to rework this deal. We have to rework this deal. Plain and simple. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? No one else in the United States, hell, no one else in the world runs their lives, their businesses. No one operates in that manner. Nobody says, I was supposed to get A. I was agreed with the other party to get A. Well, now I'm getting B. Oh, well, business as usual. When that happens, if you're a worker and you're doing X, Y, Z, and somebody gives you less than what you're supposed to get, you say, okay, no problem. So what we're going to have to do is change the work that I'm doing. We're going to have to either redo the schedule so I'm not doing the work that warrants $100,000. I'll be doing work that warrants $60,000, or you need to give me the $40,000 you owe. But nobody just goes off whistling Dixie and says, hey, I'm getting half of the money that I'm owed. I'm happy. No one does that. So when we have an agreement with our NATO allies, and only five. I mean, that's a horrible record. That's a horrible record. Come on. That's a horrible record. Seriously. And remember, the National Review, they despise Trump. They despise Trump. But think about that rationale. Think about that rationale from Jim Jarrity. Think about that National from Jim Jarrity. Trump's hyperbolic portrayal of our closest allies as ripping us off and their collective $300 billion per year on defense spending as almost nothing is typical, ill-informed, insulting Trumpism. You're supposed to get $100,000 for a job. You're given $60,000. And in turn, you walk away saying, well, hey, it's $60,000. I'd love to see if Jim Jarrity at the National Review would prescribe to that thinking. Seriously, I wonder if he would prescribe to that thinking. And this, listen, I get it. I get when people go, well, you can't run a country. You can't run a country like you would run a business. You can't run a country how you would run your life. Listen, if we ran our country how we run our lives and how we would run a business, we wouldn't be in the situations that we're in with this country. We wouldn't be in debt. We wouldn't have homelessness. We wouldn't have drug epidemic. We wouldn't have all the problems that we do if we ran our country like we would run our own lives. How we would run a business. Listen, I get it. You run a business, things happen. You run your life, things happen. But you never stay. If something is crappy in your life or in your business, you work like hell to fix it. You don't shrug your shoulders and walk away and go, oh, well. But that's what Jim Jarrity from the National Review is saying. Well, we get $300 billion. We're not getting ripped off. Listen, when you only have five, okay, when you only have five of the 28 members of NATO that live up to the agreement, yeah, you're getting ripped off. I don't care if we get $300 billion. We're getting ripped off. Yeah, they pay almost nothing. Yes. Yes, we are getting screwed over. Five out of 28 allies. That's it. In the countries that the allies that don't meet the threshold, you sit there and go, really? Really? Germany? Germany. Germany tells us to go F ourselves. I mean, really? 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 Wow. Okay. Canada? Really? I mean, you have a country like Poland. They meet the threshold. Estonia. They meet it. So Estonia. They meet the threshold. They meet the threshold. Germany? No. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, Jim Jarrity. We are getting ripped off. Yes, we're getting ripped off. You wouldn't run your life. You wouldn't run your business by saying the agreed upon figure was this. And when that time comes to get that figure, you're paid half. And you walk away going, hey, I got half. It's awesome. I'm happy.
You wouldn't do that. And so what Trump is saying is this has got to change. We got to change this. We got to change this. Now, the sad thing is, rather Trump wins the nomination, rather Trump loses the nomination, rather Trump wins the presidency, rather Trump loses the presidency, we will never talk about NATO again. We will never talk about these things again. We will never talk. When you hear John Kerry or Obama or whoever, as far as the administration, and when they travel abroad and they come back and tell reporters, oh, yeah, the other they laugh at us. They want to know what's going on with this Trump and what's this. Well, listen, if you're a country that's a deadbeat and you're not living up to your financial obligations and you're sitting back there in your, tower, wherever Angela Merkel sits, and you hear somebody in the United States that could be the president and they say, hey, guess what? Deadbeats are going to have to pay up. Those deadbeats are going to have to pay up. Because the United States isn't going to get taken advantage of anymore. Well, what are you going to say? You don't want that. Why would you want somebody to be president? Why would you want the United States to have a president that's going to call you up and, hey, listen, pay up. Hey, Merck, you owe, and you owe big time. So I'll be waiting. I need to have a check tomorrow. Okay? I need to have a check. Of course you don't want that. Status quo. So it's sad because regardless of what happens, you're never going to hear this again. You're never going to hear the NATO debate again. You're never going to hear the NATO debate again. You're never going to hear anybody talk about the countries that don't live up to what they're supposed to be paying. You're never going to hear about new strategies and things that NATO should be doing. Remember, this was created years ago. It wasn't created 5 years ago, it wasn't created 10 years ago, it wasn't created 20 years ago. It was created at a time when the world was incredibly different. So it's time to kind of refocus NATO. And that's all Trump said. That we have to refocus NATO. We have to have the other countries pay up. And yes, Jim Jarrity, when only five, and we being one of the five. So take us out of the mix. Take us out of the mix. Take us out of the mix. You got four. You got four allies that live up to their bargain, that live up to their agreement. So we have to rethink that. That's all Trump said. Now, that was NATO. Now, let's get to a few of the other controversial statements and things that Andrea Mitchell says. Donald Trump has no idea what he's talking about. He has no idea what he's talking about. Like I said, I was waiting to read space alien stuff. I was ready to read space alien, like just crazy things just insane things. Like, we have to do this because space aliens will come. I was. Okay. Now, Trump was asked, would he be willing for the United States to be the first to use nuclear weapons in a confrontation with adversaries? And Trump said, an absolute last step. I personally think its biggest problem the world has, nuclear capability. And the first one to use them, I think that would be a very bad thing. And I will tell you, I would very much not want to be the first one to use them. That I can say. Okay, where's the controversy in that statement? He was asked, would you be willing, would the United States be willing and the first to use nuclear weapons in a confrontation with adversaries? And Trump said, an absolute last step. And then he elaborated. I don't get where the controversy was on that statement. An absolute last step. What's the canned answer? No. No. I mean, It boggles my mind. Think about this. Think about this. Again, remember, we dropped bombs on Japan. Okay? It was something we had to do. We had to do that. Now, imagine. Just think for a second. You have a country like Pakistan. Okay, Pakistan has nuclear weapons, okay? Now, Pakistan is not exactly a stable country, okay? Remember, they hid bin Laden. Pakistan has the Taliban. They have ISIS. And they got a lot of bad people in that country. Now, what happens? Let me ask you this. What happens if the Taliban and ISIS can happen, get together, can happen, and overtake the government of Pakistan? What if they decided that they were going to launch nuclear weapons on Israel? What if they were going to use nuclear weapons I'm one of our other allies? What would happen if it was a race against the clock? What would happen? Because in that situation, the only thing that we could do to stop Pakistan and the Taliban / ISIS would be annihilate, do what we did to Japan. So how is the answer on whether he would be willing for the United States to be the first to use nuclear weapons in a confrontation with adversaries? And Trump says, an absolute last step. How is that wrong? I would hope our government, whoever the president is, I would hope that if we were ever in a situation where we had to drop a bomb like we did on Japan, not once, but twice, to keep America safe, to keep allies safe, to keep Americans who are living, traveling, visiting, whatever, in other countries that could be affected by a rogue nation. You know, right now you got North Korea. You got North Korea trying to develop nuclear weapons and missiles that can take these nuclear weapons out of their backyard. What if North Korea somehow, because they're close, has the capability to attach a nuclear weapon to a missile, to a rocket, to something that can hit Japan, South Korea? And what if they have it fired up? What if they got that thing on a countdown clock? What if we know? What if we know unequivocally that in 1 hour they're going to launch a nuclear bomb? They're going to launch a missile. It's going to hit Japan. Okay? Again, hypothetical. Wouldn't you want the United States to do whatever they had to do to stop North Korea? And if that meant dropping a bomb on that country before they were able to drop a bomb on one of our allies, again, where's the controversy other than status quo? That's all I could think of, status quo. On whether the United States should spy on its allies and whether President Obama was right to stop the listening in on Angela Merkel's cell phone. Trump said, you know, I'd rather not say that. I would like to see what they're doing because, you know, many countries, I can't say Germany, but many countries are spying on us. I think that was a great disservice done by Edward Snowden. Okay, again, not real sure where the controversy is on that. I mean, was he supposed to say, yeah, I think we should spy on our allies? Yeah, what was Trump supposed to say? What was he supposed to say? I guess he was supposed to say, no, we shouldn't spy on our allies. Next question. The next, and again, when you hear people frame this interview, like Andrea Mitchell, and the way you hear them talk about it, you think Trump is saying crazy and outlandish things. Seriously, you when Andrew Mitchell goes, he doesn't know anything. He just is clueless. He just, you're like, oh man, what is he, Herman Cain? And then you start reading what he said, and you go, well, I don't see where the craziness is, other than status quo. Other than status quo. Other than what we've been doing for XYZ amount of time. And when you look at XYZ amount of time, 80% of the things are not working anymore. There's kinks. There's flaws. I mean, look at terrorism. Look at what is going on in the Muslim community. Look what is going on with the religion of Islam. We have this policy under Obama, this hot approach. Don't say anything bad about Islam. Don't say anything bad about Muslims. If you do, it's going to rile them up, and they're going to kill us more than what they already do. They're going to hate us more than they already hate us. So you got to just, hi, how are you? What can I do for you? Okay, thank you. You got to treat them like little kids. And we've been doing that for 7 years. And year after year, there's attack after attack, whether it's in the United States or whether it's in Brussels or whether it's in Paris or whether it's in Jakarta or wherever. You know, we are only aware of the attacks that get reported, that our state-run media wants to report. So when we hear of something that happens in Brussels, or we hear something that happens in Paris, we go, wow, that was horrible. That was heavy. Good thing it doesn't happen all the time. But it does. We just don't hear about it. Because state-run media, which is all liberal, they know if they reported on it, the American people would say, whoa, whoa, there's a real problem. Whoa. So they don't. They don't report on every terrorist attack. If they did, they would be reporting every day. Because literally every day somebody is killed at the hands of a militant Islamic crazy. And people would go, wow, it's not a few bad apples. If it's a few bad apples, these bad apples are like supermen. They're super Muslims. They attack in this country, then they fly in the air, and the next day they attack in this country, then they fly in the air, and they attack in this country. No. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of bad, evil Muslims. A lot of them. A lot of them. A lot of them. Did I say a lot of them? A lot of them. So again, I'm trying to understand this interview and the supposed crazy things that Donald Trump said, and I'm just not seeing the crazy things. I'm just not seeing the crazy things. When Maggie Haberman is rolling her eyes and talking about the interview and saying, you know, Donald Trump, he's just clueless. Well, again, why? So on Japan and South Korea, and if they could build their own nuclear arsenal, Trump said, it's a position that at some point is something that we have to talk about. And if the United States keeps on its path, its current path of weakness, they're going to want to have that anyway, with or without me discussing it, because I don't think they feel very secure in what's going on with our country. So Trump didn't say, yeah, they should build their own nuclear arsenal. He said it's a position that at some point is something that we have to talk about. Again, should the status quo have been
No, they can never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever be allowed to have nuclear weapons whatsoever. Never, ever. Okay. All right. There you go. Again, I'm sitting there reading this New York Times article with Trump, and I'm thinking, where's the smoking gun? Where is the gun? It's a position that at some point is something that we have to talk about. I mean, how did Pakistan get nuclear weapons? There's a lot of countries that have nuclear weapons. There's a lot of countries. How did they get nuclear weapons? How did they get nuclear weapons? Israel has nuclear weapons. They're not supposed to have nuclear weapons, but they do. How did they get nuclear weapons? And why do they have nuclear weapons? Why do they have nuclear weapons? You know why? You want to know why they have nuclear weapons? Because they might have to be the first state, okay? And they are the Jewish state. They might have to be the first state to use it on an adversary. I mean, they say it all the time. Other people say it all the time. They have nuclear weapons. God forbid they have to use it on someone like Iran or another country in that region that says Israel needs to be wiped off the map. So, rather Japan or South Korea that builds their own arsenal, at some point, it's something we would have to talk about. Because apparently nobody talked to Pakistan. You know, apparently nobody talked to with some of these other countries. Or they did, and the United States said, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Using American troops abroad, such as for homeland protection, for humanitarian intervention, or aid to allies, Trump said. Sounds nice to say, I have a blanket standard. Here's what it is. Number one is the protection of our country. Okay? That's always going to be number one, by far. That's by a factor of 100. After that, it depends on the country, the region, how friendly they've been toward us. You have countries that haven't been friendly to us that we're protecting. So it's how good they've been toward us, et cetera, et cetera. Again, how is that controversial? How is it controversial? Somebody saying the number one priority is protecting our country. Once we protect our country, once we take care of our country, once we take care of our citizens, once we take care of Americans, then we'll worry about all that other stuff, okay? It's like what I said yesterday. Once we take care of our sick, once we take care of our poor, once we take care of our people, then we'll worry about building desks and schools and hospitals and roads, okay? Once we secure our homeland, once we take care of our people, then we'll worry about everyone else. How's that for a policy? Don't know how that policy is controversial. I guess it's controversial because we haven't thought like that in 30 or 40 years. I guess it's controversial because we haven't had an America First policy in many years. And I don't know why. I don't know why there is this. I don't know why there is this controversy as it pertains to nationalism. I don't know why that is so controversial. We're not talking about white nationalism. We're not talking about racist xenophobia. We're talking about American nationalism. You could be from Japan. You could be from China. You could be from Italy. You could be from Mexico. You could be from Brussels. It doesn't matter. But when you come to this country legally, and if you're lucky enough and privileged enough to become an American, you are now one of us. And you should stand proud and declare you are an American. And America should be first. What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? Except that the liberals will say, well, you're xenophobic. That's wrong. America first, what's wrong with you? You're xenophobic. That's what you are. You're xenophobic. You're homophobic. You're Islamophobic. You're fatphobic. You're uglyphobic. You're midgetphobic. You're blackphobic. Controversy. Trump said the number one priority is this country. That's it. Number one, this country. After that, we will worry about all these other things. Humanitarian intervention. We'll worry about that later. Aid to allies. This country is number one. Plain and simple. Next question on Americans' engagement in the Middle East. Trump said, if you go back 15 years ago, and I'm not saying it was only Obama, it was Obama's getting out. It was other people's getting in. But if you go back 15 years ago and say this, if our presidents would have just gone to the beach and enjoyed the ocean and the sun, we would have been much better off in the Middle East than all of this tremendous death, destruction, and, of course, monetary loss. Again, we can dissect evil tyrants. We could dissect evil tyrants, but Muammar Gaddafi, for years, ran Libya, and he ran Libya with an iron fist. There was no Benghazi. There was none of the issues that are going on in Libya when Muammar Gaddafi was in charge. You want to dissect Iraq? We can dissect Iraq and say, well, you know, this tyrant was gassing and killing his people. Well, again, there is no debate on Saddam Hussein being a bad guy. Okay, but there's bad guys all over the world. And there's bad guys that are in office as we speak. Hell, If you listen to if you listen to our leaders today, Vladimir Putin is an evil, dastardly, vile human being. I mean, why don't we throw him out of power? I mean, listen, you know, there's bad guys all over the world. The only reason the Middle East bad guys, the only reason the African bad guys, the only reason these bad guys are perceived to be so above and beyond bad is because they're in deserts. They're in deserts. There's a primitive aspect to their rule, but they're no worse than Vladimir Putin. They're no worse than the leaders of China. They really are, except China, Russia. There's not a third world feel there. They do their dastardly deeds behind closed doors. On rather, Trump would stop buying oil from Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates if those countries refuse to send ground troops to fight ISIS. Trump said there's two answers to that. The answer is probably yes. But I also would say this. We are not being reimbursed for our protection. You know, Saudi Arabia and the amount of money that they have is phenomenal. But we protect countries and take tremendous monetary hits on protecting countries. And yet, without us, Saudi Arabia wouldn't exist for very long. It would be, you know, a catastrophic failure without our protection. Now, again, don't see the controversy, except when you listen to Andrea Mitchell and you listen to New York Times opinion writers who look at this and say, we don't have troops there. Doesn't he know that? See, he doesn't know anything about foreign policy. If he did, he would know that. But I don't think that's what Trump was referencing. I think he was referencing the fact that we go to Saudi Arabia for funerals. Our first lady walks in the back of the president. We go against our values, our principles, and everything who we are when we go to Saudi Arabia to kowtow. Our Secretary of State. They wrap their heads up in sheets. They don't look at the men in the eyes. I mean, we kowtow. We kowtow. We have Saudi Arabia's back. We have Saudi Arabia's back. The 9/11 report that has redacted pages. Something like 28, 29 pages that nobody's able to look at. Some senators have seen it, and they've said, oh, Saudi Arabia's connection to 9/11. And the reason this was hidden, the reason this was not made available to the public, was to protect Saudi Arabia. So again, Trump is talking as we all talk when we're at our kitchen table or we're at the bar or we're at a restaurant We're at a Thanksgiving turkey celebration, whatever. When we sit there and go, why do we do this with Saudi Arabia? Why doesn't anybody attack Saudi Arabia? Why doesn't anybody have issues with Saudi Arabia and get into the mix with Saudi Arabia? What? Because we have their back, and that's what Trump was talking about. What we do with Saudi Arabia is very, very gangstery. Okay, if you know anything about the mob, if you know anything, if you watch Goodfellas, we are the boss of bosses. Okay, and Saudi Arabia is with us, so they're able to do whatever they want. And if there's an issue, they go, hey, we're with the United States. They got our back. We're with them. We're an associate. So again, there's nothing controversial in Trump's statement. And when Trump says what he says, he's not talking about troops. He's not talking about soldiers. On the United States' fight against ISIS and our efforts to seek political accord between President Bashar al-Assad of Syria and rebel forces. Now, again, Trump says, well, I thought the approach of fighting Assad and ISIS simultaneously was madness and idiocy. They're fighting each other, and yet we're fighting both of them, you know. We were fighting both of them, and I think that our far bigger problem than Assad is ISIS. I've always felt that. Assad is, you know, I'm not saying Assad is a good guy, because he's not. But our far greater problem is not Assad, it's ISIS. 100% true. 100% true. Assad is not blowing up buildings in Brussels. Assad is not shooting up concert halls in Paris. Assad is not chopping people's heads off on television. Assad's not doing any of this stuff. Assad has been in power for years and years and years and years and years. Okay? Again, you know, it's not so much being the policemen of the world. Okay? You know, you always hear that. We can't be the policemen of the world. We can't be the policemen of the world. But it really is. It really is. We can't go to every country. Because here's the thing when it comes to Syria. We say, hey, we can't be the policemen around the world. And neocons and other individuals on the left. So you got neocons on the right, and you got other individuals on the left that say, yeah, but you can't let somebody gas their own people. You can't let somebody violate the human rights of their own people. We have to stop that. Listen, time out. Again, in referencing Saudi Arabia, they do horrible things to their people. China does horrible things to their people. Okay? And we don't go and demand that their leadership step down. We don't go and demand that they stop doing what they're doing. Russia does horrible things to their people. Okay? Yeah. It's lunacy. It's absolute lunacy. Assad was never a problem. We have to know when to back off and let a country deal with their own issues. Because when we start getting into this neocon, spreading democracy, making countries change, regimes, telling them they can't operate a certain way because, it's wrong, it's immoral. You have problems. So when Trump said, forget Assad, he's not a problem. He's a bad person, 100%. Really bad. Really, 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 really bad. But not as bad as ISIS. Assad's not blowing up buildings in Brussels. Assad's not killing people in concerts. Assad's not putting people in the United States and shooting up schools. Okay? On Trump's America First worldview, Trump says, I'm not an isolationist, but I'm America First. So I like the expression. We've been disrespected, mocked, and ripped off many, many years by people that were smarter, shrewder, tougher. We were the big bully. But we were not smartly led, the big stupid bully, and we were systematically ripped off by everybody, from China to Japan to South Korea to the Middle East. Protecting Saudi Arabia and not being properly reimbursed. I mean, they were making $1 billion a day before the oil went down. The whole thing is preposterous. We will not be ripped off anymore. We're going to be friendly with everybody, but we're not going to be taken advantage of by anybody. Again, America First and the attitude of everything has to be in our best interest. Not the concept by the National Review writer that says, well, we did get $300 billion. The allies did put $300 billion in. You're just being hyperbolic. Yeah, it's not what we were supposed to get, but what we got, it's not chump change. Yeah, but it's not what we're supposed to get. It's not what we're supposed to get. It's not what we're supposed to get. Jeez. Give me a break. Then, of course, the NATO question comes up as far as the effectiveness of NATO and the ability to combat terrorism. Trump said, I'll tell you the problem I have with NATO. Number one, we pay far too much, which is what we are talking about. NATO is unfair because it really helps them more so than the United States. And we pay a disproportionate share. We already said that. Now, I'm a person that, you notice, I talk about economics quite a bit in these military situations, because it is all about economics, because we don't have money anymore, because we've been taking care of so many people in so many different countries that we don't have money. So NATO is something that at the time was excellent. Today, it has to be changed. It has to be changed to include terror. It has to be changed from the standpoint of cost, because the United States bears far too much of the cost of NATO. Again, don't know how that is a controversial statement. The fact that NATO needs to retool what it is used for, and terror needs to be part of that. You know, we talk about ground troops, the fact that nobody wants to put ground troops to fight ISIS.
Well, put some of them NATO ground troops on the ground to fight ISIS and not the American ones. How's that? Whether Russia will end up dominating Ukraine. Well, unless there is, you know, somewhat of a resurgence, frankly, from people that are around it, or they would ask for help, but they don't ask for help. They're not even asking us for help. They literally not even talking about it. And these are the countries that border the Ukraine. Again, I'm not real sure where the controversy is on how he would combat China's assertiveness over islands in the China Sea. We have great economic, and people don't understand this, but we have tremendous economic power over China. And it's the power of trade, because they use us as their bank, as their piggy bank. They take, but they don't have to pay us back. It's better than a blank. It's better than a bank, because you take money out, but then they don't have to pay us back. Again, not real sure where the controversy is there, except when you listen to an Andrea Mitchell or New York Times political pundits. They say, yes, but it goes both ways. It goes both ways. They can start a trade war with us. They can start a trade war with us. They have economic power over us. Why doesn't Donald Trump understand that? Now, we could break that down, but we don't have a tremendous amount of time to really get into this concept of trade wars. But like I've said countless times before, we used to make products in the United States. Okay? Everything was not always made in China. Everything wasn't always made in Bangladesh. We used to actually make things here. Trade deals, work conditions, meaning sweatshops, all of these things created an environment where China or Taiwan make products cheaper than American products. But that can be fixed. That can be fixed. When you're paying $3 for a t-shirt, when you're paying 50 cents for a pair of socks, there is room for those prices to go up. And I'm not talking about as far as China. I'm talking about on the American side. And ultimately, buying American and paying an extra quarter for a pair of socks, or an extra dollar for a shirt, ultimately is not going to bankrupt Americans' pocketbooks. And in turn, you're going to create jobs. You're going to create commerce. You're going to have a system in this country that harkens back to the day when we actually created products.
And again, we could do a breakdown. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Right now, we don't have a ton of time. How would Trump avoid being too... Why does he avoid being too specific on foreign policy plans? And Trump said a politician would say, oh, I would never go to war. Or they say, oh, I would go to war. I don't want to say what I do because, again, we need unpredictability. The problem we have is that maybe because it's a democracy and maybe because we have to be so open, maybe because you have to say what you have to say in order to get elected. Who knows? But I wouldn't want to say. I wouldn't want them to know what I'm really thinking. Again, don't know how that's controversial. It's something that Richard Nixon actually was for. It's actually something that Nixon had said. So, in a nutshell, that was the New York Times interview. In a nutshell, that was the controversial, edgy. Again, I'm not real sure. Not real sure how this was an interview. I'm not sure how this was an interview that showed Trump had no idea what he was talking about, what was being said, what he knew. I don't know, except breaking status quo. Except breaking status quo. That's the only thing. When Andrea Mitchell says Trump has no idea what he's talking about, he's completely clueless, I don't see it. I don't see it, except for status quo, except for saying, well, we did this for X amount of time. We did that for X amount of time. Now we need to change. Now we need to change. It's time to change. What's wrong with changing? Remember Obama, hope and change? There's nothing wrong with reevaluating policies and things we did 30, 40, 50 years ago. And trying to figure out what they mean today, how they can be improved. It's a status quo. And people don't like the fact that Trump is saying, let's change what we've been doing. That's just my two cents.